podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the latest show from Fantasy Football Scout, looking at the FIFA 2022 World Cup. We have an eye on the stats over the last two rounds of matches so far. There's some matches going on. We're recording this on Monday morning, so the final embers of the very exciting Serbia-Cameroon game are going on at the moment. So, but the key focus is really getting those top picks for match day three or game round three if you're playing the Sky version. My name is Joe, and joining me to find the toughest tacklers, slickest passers, sharpest shooters for match day three is Tom Freeman, Fantasy Football Scout's deputy editor. Tom, how are you?
Good, thanks, Joe. Enjoying the football. We were just saying off air then that the games really seem to have picked up in the last 24 hours. Lots of goals flying in. Still a lot of issues in the official FIFA game. It is improving. But I checked my team at the weekend and I'd lost my goalkeepers match day 1 points and then they reappeared 24 hours later. So still issues, but yeah, getting better.
Yeah, my enjoyment of the World Cup has shot up a bit. I posted something on Twitter. It, for me, during the weekdays are a bit of a pain because I'm busy with work. And then at 7 o'clock, it's a bit annoying because if you've got kids, you want to feed them and you've got dinners and it, you know, it's just a slightly awkward times for me, but that, you know, it's really difficult wherever you are in the world at some point. So that's just first world problems there. But yeah, the games have really picked up this weekend. Managed to see a few I really enjoyed that Canada-Croatia game. That was the one that
it's brilliant.
I really like the look of, you know, scoring a goal early for Canada and then Croatia punishing them for it having is, the audacity to do so. Before we move on, we're going to look at some stats, but the prime thing we're looking at is these top picks for match day three. Before we do that, I understand you've got, there's once again, there's something going on with TalkSport and managing to watch the games over here with lots of fellow football fans. So, yeah, what's all that about?
Yeah, we mentioned it last week, but it's TalkSport. They are hosting a World Cup fan zone under the arches at London Waterloo, the venue where Fantasy Football Fest is held. Now, every World Cup game is being screened there on some huge kind of giant TVs. There is Q&As, live radio broadcasts, food, drink, etc. You can go on the website and pick a ticket for any game you fancy. I think they're £7.50, or they start at £7.50, but you get a free drink with it as well upon arrival, so not bad at all, really. And on, not this coming Friday, the Friday after, I think it's the 9th of December, there's a few of us from Scout who are going to go and down there and be there for the evening. It could be the quarterfinals, I think.
Okay.
So if anybody fancies coming down to that, get yourself a ticket. We'll get you a drink and one drink. I shouldn't have said that, should I? But yeah, now if you fancy it, there'll be a few of us there. It should be a really good night. So yeah, come on down. I'm not sure what the game will be at the moment, but it will be a quarter final, I think. So Friday, the 9th of December.
Okay, excellent. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at some stats now and I'll kind of flag up some key players. With the Fantasy Football Scout members area, you can sort and filter the stats so far per 90 minutes, which is really handy because especially at this stage for us, we've got a handful of games still to go in match day two. So, for example, Brazil have only played one game so far and many others have played twice. So we've managed to get that. I've also filtered by playing for 60 minutes at least. I've done it like that because that flags up some of those that might have come on as substitutes and played significant minutes either in both games or one of the matches. And that will be important for match day three because we're flagging up players, but will they get minutes? And that's something that's we're definitely going to look at. So, for example, France already through. So will popular players like Mbappe actually play? So these are the things we're going to look at. So what I've done for, get the first table up here, defenders. So defenders to look at, really. I've filtered this by tackling. I know in the official game, tackling is more of midfielders get that. But this is for those who play the Sky game, because that's where tackles one really, really pays off as well. But it's a good way of indicating a defender who's very involved and doing what they should be doing. So they're going to be a good player there and hopefully be getting you some clean sheets with their successful tackles. I don't know if you've got the table up on your screen there. I mean, Milenkovic is for Serbia is the top one with tackles per 90 of 9 and tackles one per 98. So pretty good percentage there of tackles one. Pavlovic as well. For Serbia, his tackling's doing really well as well. And Itakura, I know in the Sky game people went for him in who plays for Japan because his tackles one were per 90 of 4 in the two games he's played. So that's pretty impressive so far. But just looking at some of those other names, I won't read them all out, but just you can flag up some names there that, that you're particularly interested in with an eye for match day 3.
Yeah, so I think Denmark, you can see Christensen on there. Now, Christensen is a pretty good pick in the official FIFA game, but the player I would go for is Mahel on the opposite flank. Now, I think that we did have a version of this table earlier, Joe, and I think Mahel was on there, so he's probably not going to be far down from this.
I was going to say him and another popular pick, Jordi Alba, Spain, are just below this. They're just below this.
So there you go.
I cut them off at 10. I mean, where can you... You could go on forever
with
these things.
Yeah, exactly.
Jordi Alba, Amala are just below this, so yeah.
Yeah, so he would be... He is a right-footed player. But plays at left wing back. So when he's in the final third, he's cutting into his stronger foot. So he has a bit more goal threat than Christensen, but both good picks, I think. And the other name which kind of immediately jumps out on that list is Hakimi from Morocco. Morocco have kept two clean sheets so far in both games against Croatia and Belgium. Now, I was covering the game for Scout yesterday, and I actually realised that since the new manager took charge in September, they've played 6 games. They've kept a clean sheet in every single game under their new manager so far. So they've flied under the radar a little bit and I think surprised a few people, but they look really organised. And Hakimi, it's that attacking fullback. He is managing a thigh injury, so I think we need to monitor that. Yeah. But he started yesterday. I think he played 60-odd minutes. And he could be a really good pick for that match day 3 if he's starting.
We should see the team sheets. It's the first game on the Thursday. We'll look at the fixtures in a sec. Really home in on those key picks, really. But playing Canada, who have surprised me and probably surprised other people, they're actually good. Very good side, very good attacking side.
But they're like you say, Joe, they're a good attacking side. So that gives up space, as we saw from Croatia on the counter-attack yesterday. They tore them apart, didn't they? Yep. So a player like Hakimi getting forward in the final 30 could be a decent pick. You expect them to might concede in that one, but goals and assists could be on the cards.
Okay, I've got my eye on that. In the Sky game, we can make transfers right up until the first deadline. So I don't know if that's the same case with the official game. So, Hakimi, first player on my radar there. Let's move on to midfielders. So I've sorted this by successful passes. That's obviously a criterion in a lot of formats of the game, the official game and Sky. But also chances created as well, or key passes and old-fashioned money. And once again, these are per 90. No surprise, Spain. Spain midfielders, what are they famous for? Lots of successful passing. So Rodri and Pedri right up there as the most successful passes per 90 so far. Busquets as well is there. But further down, we've got, you know, likes of Rice and Bellingham for England, Bentancur for Uruguay, Pereira, Portugal. In fact, Portugal, very similar to Spain. Lots and lots of passes in midfield. Bernardo Silva looking good, and Neves for Portugal, and Tchouaméni for France. So I don't know whether the French players are going to... The French players I'm reluctant to promote because I don't know where they're going to play. Looking at this list here, who springs out here as a good midfielder to get for match day 3?
Well, in the official FIFA game, like you touched on, Joe, it's the key passes that we need for midfielders, and we need a couple of key passes to get an additional point. You see Rodri and Pedri at the top, but unfortunately, they just don't offer enough goal threat to be viable options in the FIFA game. So the players you kind of want to be looking at for this are the kind of not really the ones featured on this table. They're more like players like Eriksen, De Bruyne, Musiala, Di Maria. They've been getting the created chances. They've been racking up those so far. I think Kovacic yesterday, again, that game that we watched was good too. But of those players on that list, maybe Bellingham. You know, he came off early, didn't he, against America? But he does offer that. It's that box to box role where he can do well for tackling. He can do well for key passes. So if he does play, it just depends what approach Southgate takes. And This is part of the this is a key part of how we do in match day three, is analysing who's going to start. And will Southgate choose to rotate a few positions? For instance, you know, Kane might not start. So it's you've got to really go for those nail picks. I'm not sure Bellingham about this one. Could he prefer Henderson in there? I don't know.
Yeah. I know. With the England game, it was like, yeah, bring on Foden, bring on Grealish. Grealish is gone, and Henderson. Oh,
yeah.
It wasn't quite what we wanted. Let's have a look at the shots on target. So this is more about forwards here. We're sorted by shots on target per 90. No surprise, Mbappe certainly the best player I've seen so far in this tournament. Shots on target per 90 of 2.5. Then Richarlison with that second wonder goal he scored. Yet to play this, but you might be watching this after his second game, so maybe he scored more. Who knows? Enna Valencia, probably the surprise for everyone. It's next up there. Shots on target per 90 of 2.24. It's not just the extra points you get for shots on target, but also the fact that, you know, they're in a position to score, which is what you want. Rafinha from Brazil, Ronaldo. I have not. So these are shots on target. This includes penalties as well. It's just worth mentioning. And familiar names: Messi. I think Kramaric at Croatia. Very good. Very good yesterday against Canada. Saka against England. Lewandowski, Poland, finally off the mark. And then Martin at Mexico. So they're the ones there. So out of this lot here, I mean, you would assume a lot of them are sort of talisman for their sides. But at the same time, this might be an opportunity to rest them. You would imagine their squads could handle that. I mean, yeah, who would you like the look of out of these forwards?
It's difficult, isn't it? Because Mbappe, like you just said, Joey, is the best. He's the best, been the best player in the tournament so far. But France are pretty much assured of top spot.
Yeah.
So they could quite easily go into that fixture with, you know, Thuram and Coman up front instead, and probably still get the job done. So that feels like a bit risky. I think it might be safest in the official FIFA game to leave him in, and then you can use a transfer once the team sheets are out. Because you don't want to kind of not have him if he is playing.
Yeah.
But you want that flexibility. Richarlison, let's see how he goes tonight. No Neymar now, so you know, expecting Paqueta to maybe come in. That could be an interesting one. Ronaldo and Messi, I don't think we need to say much about them. Yeah. You know, if there's obviously for Messi, there's definitely something to play for in match day three. Yeah. So he's going to be a lot.
Yeah.
Ronaldo, Portugal won the first game. Let's see how they get on today and the permutations of that. Mm-hmm. They're obviously great options if there's something to play for. And Kramaric, you know, I thought he was brilliant yesterday, but they play Belgium now, and it's like a winner takes all match. I think I'm right in saying that one. So I don't know. I think there's probably in the official FIFA game, I don't know what it's like in Sky Joe, but there's so many forward options and not that many midfielders. So for Kramaric to get in, it's probably not going to happen.
For example, it's perfectly viable just to have a couple of strikers. There are a lot of options, but it's these defenders. Right. So for example, England defenders, we'll talk about those that have sort of got a blanket England defence. So you've got Stones, Maguire, etc., Trippier. Yeah, I mean, you can really rack up. I mean, so for example, Stones in the Sky game got 10 points. So we've got the clean sheets, but plus all of the tackling and passing and those types of things. In the Sky game, it's a real mixture. Yeah, there's a lot of striking, but there's loads of defenders that want as well.
It is different to the FIFA game, because in the FIFA game, you want to go for those big hitters up front. You want Messi, you want Mbappe, you want Neymar when he's fit. So for a player like Kramaric to kind of force his way in, probably isn't going to happen. There is some other mid-price picks that I do like, though, which we'll touch on when we go through the fixtures.
Okay, well, let's go through the fixtures. Let's go day by day. We've got Tuesday, the 29th of November. Handy reminders just come up on screen for me to say. Do press that like button. Do press subscribe as well. Do tell your friends, and do especially for the World Cup videos and podcasts we've got. But also, come Boxing Day, we've got loads and loads of FPL coverage coming up. Ahead of that. So yeah, that's back again. So we're getting to pick some of these players again, and some of those that haven't gone, like Salah and Robertson and so on. Tuesday, Ecuador against Senegal, Netherlands against Qatar, Iran against United States, and then Wales against England. Out of all of these, you know, who Which players appeal for this day?
I'm looking at Netherlands, Joe, playing Qatar, who have lost both games so far. They're out of the tournament. So I'd be looking at Netherlands. Dumfries has massively underwhelmed so far, but he's a, you know, Euro 2020 hero. People know what he can do from that wing back spot. And then I really like Gakpo, who's had a great tournament so far. Now, Depay is interesting. He's been nursing this injury, getting more and more minutes. We think he's going to get 60 in this. We think he's going to move to a starter. So it could be a good pick, but I'd be tempted to go with the player who I think is probably going to play 70 or 80 minutes, and that would probably be Gakpo, I think.
Okay, but, Bergwijn has disappointed me in the Sky. I've dispatched him.
It could be him that loses his spot, I guess, if Depay starts.
That's what I thought as well. So if we're looking at that, so target Netherlands. I don't know what the situation is with Netherlands, whether I'm presuming just a draw.
Draw is enough, I think, for them, isn't it? I think,
But it could be a chance for those like Depay to get, extra minutes, show the manager what they can do. I'm looking at that England-Wales game as well. As I said, in the Sky game in particular, the defenders have been good. I don't know what sort of rotation we're going to get here. I hope, I put Phil Foden on our thumbnail for this. I, like a lot of England fans, hope that he is playing. I'd like to see a lot of minutes for Grealish as well. He's got a wonderful knack of earning, as you know, as a Villa fan, of earning free kicks and penalties through his trickery. I'm not sure what other rotation will there be there. I mean, I imagine defence is going to be pretty rock solid.
Yeah, I've seen a bit of talk of maybe Kyle Walker coming in. Okay. And so you immediately think, well, is Trippier at risk? But he could come in at right back, and Trippier could go to the left if he wants to give Shaw a rest. So that's quite difficult. I think he'll probably continue with Stones and Maguire and Pickford. I don't see him disrupting that, because we're not qualified yet. You know, I think that it's quite difficult. Maybe Pickford or one of the centre backs, if you do think we'll get clean sheet. But Wales have got to go for it in this one, haven't they, Joe? Yeah. You know, they've got to win this match by a few goals. So I don't know whether this is the match day to target England's defence quite as much as we have been so far.
Yeah, it looks like Netherlands this day, particularly. But you know, I think it's going to be hard to resist for England fans. Get an England player or two in. Foden could be a pump, but we're not going to see those team sheets until...
Or Callum Wilson, maybe. But
Harry Kane did look a bit tired. I've got Harry Kane in my Sky team, so I will be, keeping him, obviously, it's Harry Kane. Mm. But, I'm not overly confident. Interesting to see that Netherlands lineup. Let's move on to Wednesday. So Wednesday, we've got Australia against Denmark, Tunisia against France, Saudi Arabia against Mexico, Poland against Argentina. Absolute must-win game for Argentina. As you said, Messi's... Yeah. I mean, that's a lock. You just have Messi. That's just, what other Argentina players do you think we should be getting?
I like Di Maria. He's the creator in that team, and I think he would be the one that I've gone in each match day with so far. I like that doubler. And like you said, Jay, it's a massive game for them. They have to get something out of it.
He's in my team already. I'm keeping him.
So then looking at the other fixtures on that day, France are difficult ones because, like we said, they're qualified. But that could bring players like Coman and Saliba, who hasn't played so much at the back. So that might be a good chance to get some really good differentials in, who are really low owned, if you think they're going to start. And then Denmark, obviously, good fixture against Australia. So Mael and Eriksen.
Yeah.
And even Mexico. Saudi Arabia were really good in the first match against Argentina, but they had a really high defensive line and they pressed really high up.
Yeah.
A bit like Canada, I like teams who do that because then it creates opportunity. You know, it's like Leeds in the Premier League. They're an attacking team. They're always going to get bodies forward. Mm-hmm. I've got Zielinski and Lewandowski in for that fixture at the weekend and they both did well. So going for somebody like Lozano or something at Mexico this week, that could be a nice little pick.
I like the Denmark fixture as well. Against Australia, you know, once again, they're not, you know, They're a good side. I think, well, you know, all the so-called minnows, it's only really Qatar. Oh, I've been sort of, perhaps they, you know, footballing terms shouldn't be there. But everyone else has been really good sides, actually. But yeah, Australia good. And Denmark. So yeah, those Danish defenders, I like the look of here. You mentioned Mahler as well. I think he would be the pick, I think, for me, for defenders this day.
Yeah, great.
But yeah, interesting what you say about those differentials at France, and of course what Mexico's attackers could do. So yeah, very interesting. Let's move on to Thursday. Canada against Morocco. Morocco, who's the clean sheet specialist that we didn't know were clean sheet specialists, but now we do. Croatia against Belgium, absolute must win. Croatia look the favourites to me in that one. Costa Rica against Germany, must win for Germany, I presume.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolute must win. But Costa Rica, another side that perhaps thought would be minnows, and perhaps they've got something else to them. Calvo there was in our match day three defenders with his tackling, so you know he'll have to be on good form. And Japan against Spain, so a lot of Premier League interest there, particularly my team Brighton with Matoma, and quite a few familiar names in that Japan squad. And against Spain, let's go for Spain first, because Spain will be popular as ever. A lot of goals, a lot of passing, that type of thing in them. But who do you think would play? Morata, I quite like. Could he be a good shout for this?
Yeah, I think he could be, Joe. Yeah, he's been on the bench for the first two matches, but he's come on in both games and scored. So you've got to think he's going to be pushing for a start now. So I think, Morata. And they still need a point from this Spain to guarantee to qualification. So they're not going to rotate too much, but I can see Morata coming in, and Germany above them as well. Obviously, that's a must-win game.
Yeah.
And their subs made a real impact against Spain. Sané and Niklas Füllkrug, the Werder Bremen striker, he came on and scored the equaliser. Mm. And so you've got to think Sané and him are going to be pushing for starts now as well.
Okay.
Costa Rica got the win yesterday, but I think Germany should be okay in this one. So and players like Raum and Musiala as well have been good so far. So there's loads of picks at Germany, which I like for this match today.
Croatia against Belgium. So, I mean, do we think there's going to be some rotation at Belgium? I mean, a big Trossard fan here.
Onana's out, he's suspended, so I think Tielemans will come back in. Okay. Lukaku came on for the last 10 minutes, I think, yesterday. And they've been playing Batshuayi, and they've really missed Lukaku up front. And so if he can play for 60-odd minutes, they're going to start him, I think. But this is one of those fixtures where it feels very hard to call, and so I'd probably avoid it completely, I think, if I'm picking my match day three team, because... you just don't. Belgium have been really poor. Croatia have played so much better than them, but they've got they've got match winners in that team like De Bruyne, who can step up and make things happen. So might be best to look elsewhere.
Okay, I've got Perisic and Modric in my team. I'll keep.
Okay,
I've got rid of De Bruyne, just out of spite. But I did notice that I perhaps shouldn't have done because. When Lukaku came on, De Bruyne was passing much more at Lukaku. And whilst Lukaku didn't put any of those chances away, he was in the correct positions. He wasn't offside like Batshuayi was so frequently. And it just felt like there was going to be an assist or two coming there. So
De Bruyne... He's still really involved, De Bruyne.
Could be a whole...
So stick a good striker in there with him who can actually finish some of the chances he's creating, and then he'll probably start to pick up again. Okay.
So for the match day three differentials, really, Lukaku could be an interesting pick there. But
yeah, see what Martinez says. Yeah.
But as you said, there's some other fixtures there that could perhaps offer better returns. And that Morocco defence, looking at that. So Hakimi, I really want to see him in that lineup. I'm very keen on that. You sold me there.
and Ziyech as well further forward. He's just got goal assist potential. He's involved in everything for them. And it's that right side of Morocco with Hakimi behind him and then Ziyech. And Canada will give up space. They'll attack this one. So, decent fixture to target.
Right, let's move on to Friday. This is the final day of this particular match day or game round, however you want to say it. Ghana against Uruguay, South Korea against Portugal, Serbia against Switzerland, Cameroon against Brazil. Some potentially good matches here. This has been recorded before the Brazil game. Often I come across here, we'll say, let's assume they've won. They might not. But nevertheless, you would imagine there'd be some form of rotation. Maybe would Jesus possibly start this if Brazil have already won their second game?
Yeah, potentially. And players like Anthony, if he's fit as well, could come in. So it's really difficult to speculate on this until we know the permutations of what's happened in there. But yeah, Brazil could be a team a bit like France. If they're qualified or almost guaranteed a place, then they could rotate. Portugal scored 3 goals in the first round. So if they've got something to play for, Ronaldo, Bruno Fernandes are obviously going to be decent picks. Serbia and Switzerland, I'm not so sure about that one. Serbia are playing now and Mitrovic is looking good, I think, from what I hear. But Switzerland are a decent defensive side, so probably avoid that. Uruguay defence, maybe. If you wanted a cheap goalkeeper, I think Roche is 4 million in the official FIFA game. Ghana, they scored a couple past Portugal, but they weren't great until the second half, really. They were there. So
one thing I noticed with that Ghana Portugal game was there was for both sides there was a lot of space on the wings, and that's why I was partially tempted to get Son in for my Sky game because he's playing both of them. So this is going out before he has played one of them, and then he plays Portugal next. But then I thought, hey, it's Portugal. And I wasn't quite sure about Son coming back from his injury, so I sort of chickened out on that move. I don't know, this could be quite a good match. I mean, South Korea really good, Portugal good.
It depends what we've got so far. So we've got Portugal are on 3 points at the moment. Uruguay and South Korea have got 1 point, and Ghana have obviously lost the first game. So if Portugal win match day two, they're going to be on 6 points and they're going to pretty much be wrapped up, I think. That then would indicate that we might need to start looking for the backup players who could come in match day three and make an impact. So just a lot depends on what happens later on.
Rightio. Ghana, Uruguay. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to go.
Could be a tight one.
I've only seen one game so far of Uruguay. I don't know. And when I don't know, I don't want to go there.
Yeah, this does feel like one of those matches where it's hard to call. And so I try and avoid those when I'm picking like a free hit or a wild card team for the week, then you want to go for the ones where you feel confident that there's going to be a big score. And that one, again, I think that could be low scoring. Yeah. So, maybe a defender from Uruguay, but I'm not sure about Darwin or Suarez. I think there's better picks this week.
I think for this particular day here with Brazil, keep an eye on our tweets, the Fantasy Football Scout. Obviously, just keep an eye on the news. See what position Brazil are in the group, what likely rotation is. There could be some interesting sort of backup players there, like Jesus or Anthony. Other than that, I mean, I guess it's the familiar names. I mean, Mitrovic could be a cheap, a viable cheap striker. But as you said, it's against Switzerland.
Good defensively.
Son, I would potentially, seeing how where Portugal are at because if there is some rotation for Portugal, could be a good match for Son.
If there's something riding on it,
this is a real wait and see, but day. But I think there's lots of potential for good players there. Thanks so much for that, Tom. That's really helped me sort out some of my picks for the Sky game, and I know those like yourself are playing the official game. There's some interesting picks there, and I hope we've got some good. We haven't mentioned goalkeepers really, so just to sort of round up. In terms of goalkeepers, who are the sort of best couple of goalkeepers, do you think, for match day three? I've sort of caught you on the hop here.
That's fine. I'd probably be looking at the Dutch goalkeeper, Noppert, who's played the first couple of games. He's only 4.5 million in the official FIFA game. Now, Netherlands weren't great against Ecuador, but Qatar ain't great either. Yeah. So I think that's a good cheap keeper to get. Okay. And I would probably pair him in the FIFA game, potentially with Roche for the Uruguay keeper, who's only 4 million, his cheapest chips. So you can get two goalkeepers for 8.5. Yeah. Push your budget into that attack where you want to be getting Messi and the big hitters. So that's what I would do.
And with the Sky game, the Dutch keeper looks good, especially against Qatar. But we'll see the lineup. So if there is any rotation there, we'll better see that in the Sky game, and adjust accordingly if we're up in time. And Tom, thanks so much for that. We will be back soon. There's lots of other videos as well and podcasts from Fantasy Football Scout looking at these things. Obviously, our one has an eye on the stats, but what you all want to know is which players you bring in. Hopefully we have help there. Tom, thanks a lot for your time and good luck with your match day 3.
Cheers, Joe. See you soon.